It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Yes, we have the Mayor on the line. How are you this morning, Mayor Phil Goff?
I'm good, thank you, Zoe. The sun is shining out there and we're glad to have got through the storm over the weekend, which was pretty dramatic. I think our power went out about four times.
Oh, wow.
I spent Sunday working a chainsaw, cutting up the trees that blew over, of, you know, some quite mature trees. And
okay.
There was a big cleanup, and we're still doing that all over Auckland, actually. You know, I can't remember winds like that in a long time, but we didn't get the flooding. In fact, we could have done with a wee bit more rain and a whole lot less wind. But hey, nobody controls the weather.
But what a huge announcement yesterday that you will be retiring from politics after 40 years. We will chat a little bit about this later on. But as you said just before, business as usual at the desk. So let's start by talking about the council budget, which is now up for public consultation between the 28th of February until the 28th of March. Aucklanders will be asked for their feedback on the council's three main priorities: climate action, managing budget pressures, and waste minimisation reform. For listeners who maybe this is their first time thinking, yes, I want to have my say on the council's budget, how could the public consultation influence or change what council has already proposed?
Well, we always get, some thousands of submissions, and obviously take into account what the public believes about a number of things. We even do some independent research polling, which we'll be doing on the climate action targeted rate. And I think a number of councillors will take quite seriously what the feedback is from the electorate in terms of the priorities that we think are important for this budget. I mean, there are some things that you can't avoid. We've got significant revenue pressures because of COVID-19. You know, we've still got just as the public transport patronage was starting to improve, we've got hit by Omicron and it's dropped back again. We can't hold the events that we wanted to hold. Auckland International Airport still isn't making any money, so we're not getting any dividend. The port is also affected. So those things have to be dealt with, plus higher inflation and higher interest rates. But I think the big issue, and one that I don't want buried under our current concern with COVID's dominating everything at the moment, but let's not forget that we have a climate emergency.
Yes.
Last year was the hottest year on record in 110 years in Auckland, and seven of the last 10 years have been in that top bracket of really hot summers. We've had 3 or 4 years of drought. Even January this year was the second driest January on record. So it's really important, and what I'm saying to Aucklanders is we need to invest more in dealing with climate change, and for a cost of about $1.10 or $1.12 a week on the average or the medium house price in Auckland, we can put another $1 billion in the next decade over things like improving bus services, frequency and availability to get people out of cars and onto buses.
This is the climate action targeted rate that you're talking about right now, is it?
Mm. Yeah, so I think that will be a big item. The last one you mentioned was waste, and that's simply, our waste team has been doing a lot of work about how we can most efficiently deal with waste, and their belief and what we're going out to consult on is that we'll standardise the funding of our waste management. Some parts of the city pay it through their rates, some pay it as a pay-as-you-throw. They've found that the most economic, the most cost-effective way is to have a standardised system across the city which would be rate-based. And getting rid of waste is obviously really important, and even more important actually that we reduce our waste and look at recycling more, and we'll have food scraps, for example, rolled out over the next few years. They take up, it's an enormous amount of our waste, probably about a third to 40%, and that just goes into landfill. What we're planning to do is to turn that food waste into fertiliser and methane gas that we will capture and use for energy and for fertilising purposes.
And if people do want to have their say on these issues, how can people give their opinion?
The easiest way to give your feedback is by visiting akhaveyoursay, all one word, .nz. But there are other options, and if you haven't got a computer, you can go down to your local council service centre or to your library. You can have a look at written copies there, but all of the stuff will be online, and consultation formally begins on the 28th of February and runs through to the 28th of March.
Now, in other council news, the council has just fast-tracked applications for food-only outdoor dining and provided a temporary waiver of outdoor dining fees. This is to do what? To get more people supporting hospitality in this sort of phase of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's to actually encourage al fresco dining, outdoor dining, because we know that's a whole lot safer. I actually, quite a rare thing for me, went out for dinner last night down at the Viaduct Basin, and we were indoors, so, you know, mask on unless you're seated, and so, you know, everybody was complying with that, showing your vaccine pass. But, you know, maybe because it was Valentine's Day, there was quite a good crowd around Auckland, and it was just a beautiful evening for it. You know, less humid than it had been, but that balmy summer evening, and people are really out enjoying the city, and the city looked fantastic down on the waterfront. So what we've been doing, we've fast-tracked applications for food-only outdoor dining. We've provided a temporary waiver of outdoor dining fees. We've worked with the city centre business associations to enhance their members' outdoor dining capacity through a grant scheme, which has enabled more than 30 businesses to, you know, add and enhance their outdoor dining areas. The thing that we haven't got out of government is a change to the Sale and Supply of Liquor Act, which would allow serving of alcohol outside. And, you know, I've pushed on that, and the Councillor Richard Hills has pushed on that, and Councillor Desley Simpson, but the government hasn't moved on that. I think they thought that with the red light traffic system not locked down, you know, that the places can still open up to 100 people, that it was less important. But we would really like to have done that,
yeah,
to help facilitate those businesses further.
And we do want to encourage people to... well, the plan for al fresco dining is to encourage people to go and support hospitality. But, I mean, that not everybody at the moment has the money to go out and support hospo, or let alone be comfortable going out amidst this Omicron outbreak. Do you believe that al fresco dining is enough to both help hospitality thrive, but also keep people that work in hospitality and people that frequent these venues safe?
Look, I don't think it is enough by itself. In fact, yesterday I wrote to the Minister of Finance, you know, acknowledging what the government had done, you know, with a whole lot of things like wage subsidy, but pointing out that while we don't have lockdown now, alert level red means that and the Omicron surge that we're seeing, and that's going to continue now for over the next few months, it means many Aucklanders are opting to stay home and avoid cafes, restaurants and other city businesses. And the 100-person limit will create some difficulty for some businesses as well. And just asking, you know, at the moment, because we're not locked down, there is no wage subsidy.
Yes.
But I am seeing some quite worrying news about some long-time and great restaurant places saying that they're on the verge of closing down. And I don't think they're crying wolf. I think it's a genuine problem, and just asking the Minister of Finance, you know, what consideration government is giving to businesses that are severely affected by Omicron, and particularly those working in the hospitality sector. And, you know, I'm hoping the government has come across with something. I think earlier on this program, earlier weeks, we've talked about the entertainment industry, and the government did come to the party on that. They hadn't at the time we talked, and that's good. I know they don't have endless buckets of money, but I'd hate to see, you know, after all of the support the government has given to businesses over the last 2 years, if Omicron, hopefully, is the final stage — we don't know whether it is, but we hope that it is the final stage of the epidemic — it'd be terrible to see some of those businesses go under, which aren't fly-by-night businesses. They're well-established businesses. They're well-liked and great reputation. Is there other ways in which the government can help? And it's only the government that really can help in that instance.
Right. Well, just before we let you go this morning, I do want to talk to you about your announcement yesterday of your retirement from politics. How are you feeling?
I think you always have mixed feelings when you make a decision like that.
Yeah.
It's 40 years, you know, it's a long, long time. I went into politics standing for election at public office when I was 27. And it's an amazing privilege to represent your community, both as a Member of Parliament, as a Cabinet Minister, and now as Mayor. And I'll really miss that, that side of the job, the engagement with the public, getting out and about in your community, talking with people, looking at some of the great things that people are doing in the community, knowing that sometimes you can make a difference. You know, I've got the Serenity Prayer on my wall in my office saying, you know, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a pretty good guidance for political life. So, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I'll miss. But after 40 years, my thinking at the time that I first stood for the mayoralty, two terms, 6 years, that would take me into my late 60s. Now it's time to pass the baton on to a new generation of leadership for the city. And that's what I've decided to do. Not an easy decision, but I think the right one. One that my wife has been pushing for probably the last several decades. You know, occasionally you've just got to consider what your family needs. They'd like me to consider it much more often. It's basically to see if I can get a little bit more work-life balance. When you do a job like the mayoralty, you throw everything into it. So it's a 60 to 80 hour week as a standard working week. And I'd kind of like something that gave me a little bit more time. Maybe, you know, 40 to 50 hours would be good.
But what challenges do you think that your successor will face after the October elections this year?
Look, they're always going to be challenges. At the moment, we are still dealing with the after effects of COVID, the loss of revenue. And, you know, that's been my greatest regret over the mayoralty is that, you know, a pandemic like we had never anticipated and none of us had been through in our lifetimes hit us, turned our lives upside down, but from the council's point of view also whacked $1 billion out of our revenue. And when you lose $1 billion, that's $1 billion that you haven't got to spend on things that, you know, would help realise your vision, your dream of a more inclusive, sustainable, world-class city. Look, the things that have still gone quite well, you know, we've doubled our expenditure on transport infrastructure, well overdue, despite all of the problems created by COVID. We've whacked a whole lot more money into providing a resilient water supply. So, you know, ongoing droughts, we're now providing 100 million litres a day more water. We've really focused on the environment. You know, the Central Interceptor is underway to stop the wastewater flowing out into our beaches, which it's been doing for 100 years. You know, we've invested a huge amount in trying to contain the spread of kauri dieback. We've planted 2 million trees under the Mayor's Million Trees campaign. We've brought in a living wage for our staff. All of those are great things, but there are still big challenges, and it's the fundamental operation of a city that post-COVID will be growing again, making sure we do have the infrastructure, working to make sure that we've got the infrastructure to provide for more houses to deal with the housing crisis. We at local government level can't control house prices, but, you know, those prices have just got to stop. They're crazy. You know, the way that we can help is with making sure that we've got adequate zoning and we've got the infrastructure to provide for the growth in housing. There's the light rail coming up, which is going to be great for the city, but, you know, big challenge as you construct it. It's finishing CRL. Wow, there's so much to do. I'm always talking myself into staying on. You know, they're hard, but they are important challenges for the city.
Indeed. Now, just before I let you go, you have said that you hope a younger person will take over. Bit of a cheeky question, but is there a particular person you're hoping will take over as Auckland Mayor?
No, what I've said consistently is I don't think it's right or appropriate for an outgoing mayor to say who his or her successor should be. That's a decision solely for the people of Auckland, and I'm not about to try to tell Aucklanders who they should vote for. They will make that judgment themselves when they listen to the candidates and decide who's best for the future of the city. So I think it's better for me not to interfere in that process, but largely to say let democracy take its course and wish my successor whoever he or she may be, all the best for the ongoing challenges of making this a great city.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Great to have you on the show as per, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, Zoe. Ma te wa.
Bye. Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.